wonderful singing. Caden, good job, man, letting the pops flow. I liked it. Good job. That was a good job. You did good, man. Singing loud, singing proud. I like it. We want our kids to know that it's okay to sing out. Because if they don't learn when they're young to sing out, when they're old, they will not. And I praise the Lord at a young age. I had a mama who forced me to sing out. As you can tell now, you probably wish you hadn't have done that. But I'm excited to get in this passage of scripture with you tonight. Jonah. We'll begin in Jonah chapter 3, verse number 1. One of my favorite verses in the entire Bible. But this thought was kind of sparked on Friday night after David committed the sin with Bathsheba in the presentation. And we saw the mercy and love of God toward David and toward Bathsheba. Although there were consequences for their sins, we see that God had mercy on them. And God gave them another chance to, from that moment forward, live for Him. And as I was thinking about this text and thinking about that then and even today, I was talking about with somebody today, I mean, just Mountain City, my exact words were, Mountain City Baptist Church is a church filled with trophies of grace. Now, don't mistake that for me saying a church filled with people that have lived perfect lives. That is far from the truth if all of us would say amen to that. Because none of us have lived perfect lives. I mean, I think about, as I've got to know all of you, I think about your story. And in most of our stories, there is a rough part. There is a part where there is disobedience and there is sin. But we see that there is mercy and there is grace. And we see the full circle and here we are today. And I just want to go through this text and just this be something, a message of just reminiscing and remembering what God's done for us. I thank God in my life that there was a Jonah chapter 3 verse 1. And notice I didn't put second chance. Because if we're honest with ourselves, our God is not just the God of second chance. He's the God of third chances and fourth chances and fifth chances. Our God is a God of mercy and grace. And he's been merciful to us. And it just has me in awe and just to look around and to see the people of what where you were and where God's brought you now. And that's just a testament, not to you, but to Him. And it's such an encouragement to see. And it makes me a tear come to my eye, just people that love God, who God just brought them full circle. Yeah, there's darkness, there's pain, and there's sin, but there's a God of mercy. There's a God that spoke to them again. And that's what we see in our text before us tonight. Maybe I should turn there if I'm going to read it. But Jonah chapter 3 is where we will begin. Jonah chapter 3. And we will read verse number 1. And then we'll hop right into the message. Now, most of the time I say this and it's not true, but I don't plan on being very long. Brother Chris, you hold me to that, okay? But we'll see how this goes. This is just a thought I want to encourage you with. That I want to remind you. We need to be reminded where we were and where God has brought us to. And that it's not us, but it was Him. We don't need to get like Israel and think that we're here now because we did something to get us here. That's what the devil wants us to think. He wants us to think, yeah, I got in church and I got in my Bible and I fixed my life. Absolutely not. If it was up to you or up to me, you'd still be where you were 10 years ago. God did it. Because God spoke to you again like God did with Jonah. And let us not be mistaken, God didn't owe us one chance, much less two. But God, in His mercy, has given everybody in here multiple chances, and that's why you're here today. It was God. And I just want to remind us all of that today. But let's all stand for the reading of God's Word. Jonah chapter 3, beginning in verse number 1. I'm not going to try to drink all that through my message. Sometimes they judge the preacher, the length of the preacher's message by the size of his cup. And don't worry about that. But Jonah chapter 3, verse 1, very well-known passage. But the Bible says, "And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time." I thank God for that second time. I thank God for that. Because if He hadn't given me that second opportunity, I would not be standing right here today. But let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord Jesus, for Your word. We thank You, Lord, that You are a God that delights in mercy. That You are a God that delights in second, third, fourth, fifth chances. God, that giving us opportunities to come back to you, just as you did Jonah. So as we go through this text, may you remind us of who we were and who we are now and what you did to get us here by your grace. And may you help us to realize we didn't do anything to get here. We can't do anything to stay here. We can't do anything to go forward. Lord, we need you, Holy Spirit, to energize us, enable us to continue on for the glory of God. I pray you'd encourage us through your word tonight. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You may be seated. So the first thing we see here in this passage of Scripture, and once again, very well-known Scripture, but thought I wanted to encourage us with tonight. The first thing we see here in verses 1 and 2 of chapter 1 is the word of God to Jonah. And all of us have had the word of God to us in our lives. Now, some of us, that may mean a specific calling of some kind. For me, it was the call to preach the gospel that God began to deal with me about in 2000, I believe it was 2010. And I didn't heed that call right away. And what we need to understand, delayed obedience is still disobedience. And I was disobedient and I ran from God. But the call to me was the call to preach. And the call to you may have been a call to serve in a ministry at the church or to do this or do that. But all of us have had the word of God to us as his children. And if we're not being obedient to his commands, now you may not know all the commands to you from the word, but I can guarantee you know some of them, or at least one. We all know, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And if we're not doing that, that is disobedience. And the longer we live in disobedience, the worse it will get, not better, worse. Because God will not let his children continue to be disobedient and things get good, get better, they will get worse. But we see the word of God to Jonah. I'm getting ahead of myself. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me." And man, oh man, were they a wicked people. Nineveh was a very, very wicked people. It wasn't like God was sending, they were good, so God's going to go send the gospel to them. No, this was wicked people. But we see here that God has mercy and loves even the wicked people. And that's what we need to understand in the book of Jonah. The book of Jonah is not about Jonah. The focus isn't anyways. The focus of the book is not Jonah. The focus of the book is not the whale or the great fish. It's called the great fish here. It's called whale in the New Testament. All I know is it's a big fish that swallowed him up. And when we think of Jonah, that's what we think of. But what we should think about when we look at the book of Jonah is a God of mercy. A God who had mercy on a wicked people and a God who had mercy on a disobedient prophet. And that's what we should see when we see here. But God here spoke to Jonah and said, "Go preach this message to these wicked people." So that is the word of God. And the word to me was the call to preach. And you know whatever that word was to you. Or just the scripture if commands to us. And we all know because everybody, I saw a bunch of heads shake. We can resonate with the fact there's been a time where we were disobedient to that word. So that is the word. Then we see number two, the waywardness in verse 3 of Jonah. Bible says, "But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." So we see first his decision. But Jonah rose up to flee. Now, we see here Jonah had a choice, and God gives us a choice. God did not force me to preach, obviously, because I ran for over a year. And maybe you ran in disobedience to whatever command it was, but God gives you a choice. God will not make you be obedient to him. God will not force you to do it. Some people may think that, but he will not. You have a choice. And you must ask the Holy Spirit to enable you to be obedient. You don't even have the ability to make the right choice. We need God to even help us do that. But Jonah made the wrong decision. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish. And I did that. It's exactly what I did. When I don't know if you've all heard my whole story. You probably have. But when the Lord started dealing with me, I was absolutely horrified to speak in front of people. Now, you may say, well, go back to that, Preacher Tyler, Pastor Tyler. But I hated it. I remember in sixth grade, I was supposed to give a speech. I had little note cards read out, and halfway through the speech, I had to run to the bathroom and vomit. I mean, that was the most embarrassing thing ever. And I remember growing up, there were times where at Bible school, my mom would have teenagers testify each night at Bible school. And every year, I knew that my mom was going to ask me to do that, and that meant me standing up in front of a large group of people and giving my testimony. It wasn't that I didn't want to give my testimony. It was that I didn't want to stand in front of those people. I was terrified to do it. So when God called me to do the one thing where I stand in front of people and speak, I did not want to do it. So I turned and ran. But what I should have known, and what we all can look back and know now, is that if God tells you to do something, He will enable you to do it. You've heard me say, you've heard preachers say, He doesn't call the equipped, He equips the called. He called a young man who didn't like to speak or couldn't speak in front of people because he knew that when he did, it would be obvious that it was God that enabled him to do it. But Jonah made the wrong decision. So did I. And I'm sure from all the head nods I've seen tonight that you have at one point or another. And we can all then attest to the fact that when we make the wrong decision, when we go the wrong direction, we see the direction or the trajectory of that decision. Look what it says. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Now, obviously, as we know, you can't get away from the Lord. David says, no matter where I go, you are there. But we can get to a place where we don't experience the presence of God. And that is a miserable place for a child of God. But the longer you are disobedient to the commands of God, the more and more away from the manifest presence of God you will be. And we see here, not only he flees from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof and went down into the ship to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. The trajectory was down. And we can draw from that is by design. Like I said earlier, God, he won't bless someone who's not being obedient. The trajectory will be down until we see, like Jonah did here in a moment, he hit rock bottom. So when he got to the very bottom, Jasper, you need to find a seat and sit there, please. I'm tired of you walking back and forth, buddy. Sit down. Sit down, please. Thank you. Thank you very much. Sit up, please. Thank you. Sorry. That's the one kid I feel like I could do that with and it'd be okay. So we see here the trajectory was down. And it will continue to be down, down, down as long as we are disobedient. I have lived it. And I'm sure many of you have as well. It's not a fun place to be. It's miserable. The most miserable person on planet Earth is not someone who, or not a lost person that's unsaved, but a believer who is not living in obedience to God. I've been there. I was way more miserable in that state than I was before I was saved. Really, because when I was lost, I didn't realize it until God opened my eyes. But as a believer, you know you're in disobedience. Yeah, it's miserable. Just like David, he did not hear from God for over a year after he committed the sin with Bathsheba. Remember, imagine how long that year was. A man who had close communion with God didn't hear from him for over a year. It's a sad place to be. But when you make the wrong decision, that is the direction down. And not only do we see the word and the waywardness, but we see number three, the wind. The wind. And I have seen this in my life. And I've seen this in people I know's life. When you live in disobedience, God will send a storm. I believe God will send a trouble. God will send stuff to open your eyes, to try to wake you up. Notice here what we're about to read. Jonah was asleep. God sends a storm to try to spiritually wake him up. Say, hey man, you're going the wrong way. And we see that here in verses 4 through 16. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. And they said unto, they said every one to his fellow, come and let us cast lots that we may know whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. These pagan men understood how crazy it was for Jonah to be disobedient to his God, the one true God. But Jonah didn't grab a hold of that. And see, that happens if you're disobedient. The longer you're in disobedience, it's like the Bible says, your conscience is seared with a hot iron. You become numb to that. And that's a scary place to be as a child of God. Because these pagans understood what he was doing was wrong, just as bad or more so than he did. We see here that God sent a wind, God sent a storm to try to wake him up. And sometimes God did that in my life. God sent a storm in my life trying to wake me up. But it took the next thing. Not only was there a wind, but then there was a whale or a great fish. It says both in the Bible. But it took Jonah and it took me. And if I had to guess, a lot of you, it took you hitting rock bottom before you would look up and finally surrender. Finally repent. Finally turn. We see verse 17. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. So Jonah got swallowed up, just like the kids wearing the shark suits, and they were getting swallowed by the fish. Jonah was swallowed by the whale or the great fish. Jonah hit rock bottom, but it took, and see, God doing that to Jonah was an act of mercy. Was an act of love. A good father chastens his children. And our Heavenly Father is the best father. So when his child was living in disobedience to chasten him, now I'm glad my dad didn't have me swallowed by a whale, but God did what was necessary to get him to the point that he would open his eyes, that he would wake up. And God did that in my life, and I'm sure he's done that in your life. He did what was necessary to wake you up to the fact that you needed to repent and return to him and do what he said. And God did that in love. The Bible says whom he loves, he rebukes and chastens. And so I thank God for whoopings. Now, they're not fun. But when he whoops me, that reminds me he loves me. And then when my dad whooped me, it reminds me that he loved me. And as I always say, my dad loved me a lot, is what I always said. My dad would be here, wear that a badge of honor and poke his chest out and be proud of that. But yeah, so, but there was a well. And we see once he was in the well, he finally hits rock bottom. God, in his mercy, chastens him, does what is necessary for him to open his eyes back up. And then we see chapter 2. He finally wakes up spiritually. He's been awake physically. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. And he heard me out of the belly of hell, cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me in the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods can pass me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet will I look again toward thy holy temple. The waters can pass me about, even to the soul. The depths closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth were with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered. See, sometimes that's what it takes for God to get you to that point so that you can remember. And everyone in here that has lived this, you remember that point, whatever it was, where God got you there, and then the light bulb went off and the Holy Spirit brought back to your mind what God had originally told you and where God wanted you to be. He said, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that which I have, or that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. So we see here, there was a recognition of the problem, what was wrong, and there was repentance of sin. And one thing I want to point out, as Jonah was vomited up onto dry land, as you know, if you are within a big fish's belly, this is documented history. There have been people who have been swallowed by big fish, and they came out alive, and all the hair on their body was gone because of the acid of the stomach of the fish. So when they came out of the fish, they looked different. And in that moment, I remember when I finally surrendered, you can only get saved once, okay? I want you to understand that. Once saved, always saved, if once saved. But I remember when I finally surrendered, it was almost like getting saved again. It was almost like I felt that vigor and that excitement again because I finally surrendered to what God wanted me to do. There's freedom in that. The devil wants to say, well, this is going to happen or this is going to happen, because he knows if you surrender, that is where you'll have the most peace. That is where you'll have the most joy. That is where you'll have the most fervor. Jonah looked different. And when we recognize our sin and we repent of it, we will look different. We will act different. We will talk different. And because he looked different, now he physically looked different. So when he spoke, people were really focused on him. And I believe when somebody is living in the will of God, you can almost see God on them. And I believe that has an impact on people. And they'll want to listen to what you had to say. So we see the well. We see the wake up in chapter 2. And we see the warm-heartedness or the compassion or the mercy in chapter 3, verse 1. And once again, I thank God for this verse. I thank God he did it in my life. And I thank God he did it in all of your lives. And I praise the Lord that he did that, and he's brought us to where we are today. We're here today because the word of the Lord came unto us another time. It says, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying. So we see the compassion of God there. But I want to point out in the verse number 7, in verses 2 through 10 of chapter 3, the will of God. We see here the love of God for the Ninevites. These wicked, wicked, awful people, they were terrible. They did some awful things, murderous, adulterous. I mean, just wicked stuff if you study who they were and what they did. But God loved them so much that he put his prophet into the well's belly to get him to where they were so that he could preach that message to them. Man, what a merciful God we serve. But it was God's will. And see, if we will surrender to what God wants us to do, God has a plan in that. God had a plan from the beginning for Jonah to go to Nineveh, for souls to be saved. God doesn't tell you to do something just so you can do it, but because he has a plan for you in that. And that's why we always encourage our kids to find whatever God's will is for your life, because that's the only place you will be fulfilled, and that's the only place that God will bless like he wants to bless. But look what God did, verses 2 through 10, then we'll be done. Arise, go into Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went into Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, and covered him with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not? And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. And God repented of the evil. Now, don't be mistaken, that doesn't mean God did something wrong and he repented of it. That just means he didn't do what he said he would do if they didn't repent. God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. What we see here with the Ninevites is a perfect picture of someone the last person you would expect to repent and turn to God. These were not the people you would expect to do that. These were wicked. These were pagan. These were awful people. But God loved them. And God had a plan to save them. The people that you least expected, maybe the ones that God is working on the most. But God's people have got to be obedient. We've got to do what God says. We will not have peace or joy in any other area. We've got to be obedient to what God says. Maybe you're here tonight and you've been on the run, but the word of the Lord is coming to you again. Recognize the problem, repent of it, commit to be obedient to what He said, and He will bless that. God did a great work with a begrudging prophet here. As you know, chapter 4, Jonah preached the message, then he went and sat on the hill and was waiting for God to judge him. But God used even him when he wasn't full-heartedly doing what God told him to do. What I mean by that is offer God what you have. Give Him the little bit you've got, and He can do great things with it. This was a short, simple message, but one of the greatest revivals ever recorded here. God used that message to transform the lives of so many people. But God's people have got to be obedient. God wanted to speak through Jonah. God had to get Jonah there. God wants to speak through us, but we've got to be obedient, and He can do great things if we will be. With every head bowed and every eye closed, as Miss Mary begins to play, I don't know where this message finds you tonight. Maybe you want to come to the altar and say, Lord, thank You for another chance. Thank You that You were long-suffering and merciful to me. Praying, the altar's still open. Don't miss an opportunity to praise God, to thank God. You say, well, I could do that at home, Pastor Tyler. Yes, you can, but there's something special about putting your pride aside and coming to the altar and just praising God, thanking God for what He's done for you. People are praying. Don't leave tonight without taking your opportunity to do that. For your kind attention tonight. Told you I'd be short. I actually kept my word for once. But it's been, Brother Chris is having a heart attack back there. But it's been good to be here. May we ever be mindful of the opportunities God has given us and the mercy He has showed us. Because all of us, if we were honest, we deserve to be in hell right now. We even as Christians, we deserve to be dead for the disobedience that we have demonstrated. But God has been merciful. God has given chance after chance. And because of His mercy, we're here today. So let's let a people that has been disobedient, but God has been merciful to, let's let us come together each and every opportunity we have and just worship Him for being the God of mercy to us. His trophies of grace. A trophy of grace is not something that we've done, but somebody who was in a hole, but God got him out and did is doing something special with him now. Let's remember, God got us here, and God's going to get us home. Let's just trust Him and be obedient to Him. So thank you all so much for your kind attention tonight. We will be dismissed with a word of prayer, and then we'll be back here Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Brother Jason, would you close us?